How's everybody doing this morning? All right. Well, I'm fired up because I get to talk about the Holy Spirit today. And I'm starting a new series on the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's not some force in the universe. He's a person. He's part of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. All the same God, the Trinity, different forms. And he's more tangible and relevant to me because he lives in me. He's the part of God that I interact with on a daily basis. Same with you. We love God the Father. Massive. Jesus the Son, our Savior, our Lord, very important. But when Jesus ascended, he said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that's going to roll around with you down there. Amen? So he's like the most tangible, and I'm just a huge cheerleader of the Holy Spirit. I love him a lot. So, and another thing is, there's been three very specific, probably more, but I'm just going to share three very specific times that the Holy Spirit spoke to me in my life, where it's like the fork in the road kind of moment. And two out of three times I listened to him, but I'm going to share all three with you. So the first one was when I was in a band called the Barroom Heroes, and we were doing pretty good. About to go on tour, booked a tour, and I got saved. And in the process of that, I gotten saved, I'm still in the band. Because, you give your life to Jesus, I guess for some people, it's this lightning bolt moment. For a lot of us, it's a process, amen? So I gave my life to Jesus, and I loved playing punk rock music. Music to me was everything. In fact, it was the only thing over my kids, over my wife, definitely more important than God. It was on the altar of Chris Jones. And I remember that God began to tug on my heart, hey, don't go on tour. And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm going on tour. Another week, don't go on tour. Don't do it. Don't go on tour. I want you to quit the band and focus on me. I'm like, I can't. How am I going to do that? Can't do that to the guys. I can't, I got responsibilities. The tour is booked. And I remember I was working with, he's younger than me. He's a kid. But older than me in the Lord, right? And I had hired him, and we were working together, and I'm sharing with him about this because it's driving me crazy, because I just want to go on tour, but God won't leave me alone. And I'm talking to him, and he's not telling me to do anything. He's just like, dude, I would listen to God. I would listen to him. And at that moment, I heard him say, don't go on tour. This is your last warning. And I was like, it was like one of those times where I was like, when dad means it, it's like, oh. And it was in that moment. I chose to lay music down. I canceled the tour. I quit the band and I focused on God. I actually got to know Jesus. I got to know the Word. I got to know the Holy Spirit. I got to know God in that time. Now, God, restored music to me. Thank you, Jesus. But it's no longer an idol in my life. See, I had to tear that down. And I believe if I would have gone on tour, I wouldn't be standing here today. I don't know what I would have done, but it wasn't going to be good. It would have been all about Chris Jones, because that's what everything was about. So the second time, He audibly spoke to me. I was working again. It's funny. He always bothers me at work. You don't bother me. I do hardwood floors, so I'm sanding this floor, and I got my drum sander. I'm going, and a lady at the church, husband just died, and she needed help moving some stuff. And man, I was hurting for dough. I needed to get this job done, and you know, the Lord goes, I want you to stop, and I want you to go help her move. And I was like, no, man, I'm working. Like, I gotta finish. Like, I need to get paid today. I gotta finish this job. Now I want you to stop, and I want you to go help her move. And I'm like, no, I gotta work. All of a sudden, my drum sander shuts down. I mean, it's a $6,000. It's, you know, German engineering. That thing is killer, and it just shuts down. So I'm like, what? So I go and I check the, you know, I check all the electrical boxes. Everything's running good, and I'm click, click, and I'm like, I just want to work. Boom, it fires up. The drum sander fires up. Finish the job, take all my tools back to the storage shed that I was renting. I get a call at 6 o'clock in the morning. Hey, your storage unit is on fire. You better get down here. And I go down there, and I mean like everything. $20,000 in tools is in this black puddle in the middle of the ground, just all melted together, everything destroyed. Now, God didn't do that to me, but I believe that he was trying to save me from that. If I had just been obedient and gone and helped the widow that he told me to help in his word and then spoke to me, all my tools, you know, all my really expensive tools would have been on the job, and who knows? Lesson learned. Amen. I learned a lesson that day. Now, he restored me. I got tools back. I'm good, but that was a painful lesson. Painful lesson on being obedient to when he talks to me. The third time is the most recent. And if you've ever... if you've been here a while, me and my wife shared our testimony with the church, so I'm not afraid to share this with you. We both were pretty open with, you know, all our mistakes in life. You know, we come from totally dysfunctional. I mean, the only healthy relationship either of us have ever had is the one that's going on right now, because we've worked really hard to have a healthy a marriage and a relationship. But at the time... I found out she had been having an affair on me for a year. And, I mean, that was devastating. I mean, that was my out. Infidelity, cheating. I mean, you have every right to go, hey, later. Thanks, but no thanks. And I was about to do that, and God spoke to me. And he said, I have to tear you down. I had to allow you guys to destroy yourselves so I could build you back up as one. And I was like, okay. And then he said, if you don't show her unconditional love, who's going to do it? She doesn't deserve for you to stay. But then again, you don't deserve what I've given you either. So why don't you stick around and show her what unconditional love is? So I ended up staying. I wish I could say I did it perfect, but I had to walk through all that stuff, you know, made some bad decisions on my own. And but the fact is that I listened. And, you know, I mean, my parents, her parents, all of our friends were like, dude, just divorce her. You guys are horrible for each other. And it's true. We were. By the human eye, it was like, call it. Everybody's hurting. There's fires everywhere in your life. Just end it. But I'm like, no. You know, God spoke to me. I'm going to listen. And I'm glad I did. You know, and I just, listen, this is part of my testimony, my story. If you've been through divorce, if your marriage didn't work out, God's still moving. He's still working in your life. He's still in control. This is just one of the times that he's spoken to me where I listened. Amen? So don't try to compare anything. It's just, it was a victory in my life because, listen, I truly did not know what healthy looked like. And by sticking it out and by doing the work and by hanging in there, God has revealed to me what real love is. And love is an action word. It's not just a feeling. Amen? And laying down your life is not as easy as saying it. But when you do, you reap the benefits. Amen? Okay, so that being said, there's something very special in our relationship with the Spirit. It's undeniable. And it starts with total surrender. I surrender my will, my life, my pride, my sin, my strengths, my everything. It's literally saying, God, I give you all of me, all of it. And I'm dedicating to living my life with you, however good or imperfect or great or sinful or whatever that looks like. God, it's me and you, ride or die. See, I use that phrase because I know this church can understand what I'm talking about. You ever had that friend, ride or die friend, no matter what? I mean, ride or die, you knew you could rely on that person. God is a ride or die person in your life. The Holy Spirit is ride or die. Why? How do I know that? Because I am a sinner, and he still continues to love me, to work in my life, to talk to, he still speaks to me. So I know, because I am so flawed, ridiculously flawed. So if in a ridiculously flawed knucklehead like me, God would still speak to me. God would still work in my life. God would restore relationships. God would change my thought process and the way I love and forgive. He'll do it for anybody. Amen? So, because, hey, I might be preaching up here today, but I have not reached some spiritual climate where it's like, I don't deal with the same things we all deal with on a daily basis or even fail at. Okay? Don't get it twisted. Sinner, saved by grace, right here. Holy Spirit loves me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ride or die. See, because then if we open up, see, because it's all got to do with us. The Holy Spirit is ride or die no matter what. You say yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. He is your ride or die. Now, it's us remembering the intimacy that we have between God and us. It's that intimacy. It's that ride or die mentality for us. Because, see, the devil's going to come in and lie to you. You sin too much. You cuss too much. You don't read your Bible enough. You don't know enough scripture. You're not a real Christian. How could God really want to, like, reside in you? Lies. Lies. So when you, my prayer today is, because if you don't hear God's voice, I'm not bagging on you. I get it. If you don't, like, I'm not feeling what you guys all feel right. I get it. Doesn't make you any less of a Christian. But what I am praying for is that I can reveal the Holy Spirit in such a way to you today that you realize how real he is and how willing he is to ride or die with you seriously to the end, whether you sin or not. And I'm not giving anybody a green light to go sin. So please don't say, oh, Pastor Chris said, woo! Because it does say we can quench the Spirit and we can grieve the Spirit, okay? But what I am saying is he loves you. and you're not going to be perfect. So get it out of your mind. Just get that whole fake thing out of your mind, because he is your ride or die. So it's about us surrendering to that fact and like actually including him in our lives, whether we're doing good. Yay, praise God, Jesus is good. All right, Lord, thank you for the blessings, and my cup overfloweth. Or the bad times, the valleys, the tough times, where you just talk to him. Lord, whatever I need to learn through this, whatever I need, just give me eyes to see, God. Give me ears to hear you through this, because I don't want to act out like I used to. I don't want to handle this like I used to. I want to handle this like you would have me handle this. So speak to me. And get into his word and learn it and know it, because he'll regurgitate that stuff. Now, it seems that many can wrap their heads around having a relationship with God the Father, having a relationship with Jesus the Son. But with the Holy, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, it's like, not everybody's on board with that. Because the things of the Spirit can be weird in the natural. The things of the Spirit can be absolutely freaky in the natural. You ever seen somebody delivered from demons? It's freaky. People praying in tongues, that can be weird for a lot of us. Okay, I pray in tongues, it's powerful. But I know, I remember hearing somebody pray in tongues for the first time, and I was like, whoa, what kind of religion is this? You know, like, this is weird. Get it? Things of the Spirit, weird in the natural. Doesn't make it any less powerful. And I encourage you, it's a gift for all of us. It's not just for the elect. It is for everyone. And it's a language that you just open up and start praying. Whatever comes out, comes out. That's your prayer language. And I encourage you to use that. But praying in tongues, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons, prophesying, are all, and the power behind ministry, that's all the Holy Spirit. That's the power of the Spirit. That's people getting set free instantly by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he's using broken people like us to facilitate it. He's amazing. And it's awesome. But again, that can get a little freaky. I remember casting out a demon out of this lady one time, and she threw up. And I mean, it was the grossest thing I'd ever smelled in my life. And it wasn't because she didn't brush her teeth. I mean, this smelled like sulfur. Straight sulfur. It was weird. But it was real. I'm not up here lying to you. I've seen people's eyes as they, you know, casting out demons, their eyes turned into like cat eyes, or just, it was not human. Crazy. I've seen them just act like snakes on the ground. And I mean, whatever. It's weird. But it's real. It's real. The Spirit's the power behind the ministry. And like I said, he's the most tangible of all three persons of God. Now, to understand this, and I'm going to give this credit to Joe, because Joe lets me cruise through his notes. He's such a gracious pastor. Imagine a glass. I fill it with water. I put ice cubes in it, and then I seal it with, plastic wrap. So, you know, when you seal it with plastic wrap, there's condensation dripping off the top. So what you have is water in liquid, water in solid, and water in vapor. It's all water. It's just in three different forms. So you can think of the Holy Spirit in the same way. God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit. All God. All powerful, all equal, different forms. God loved us so much, he wanted to make sure he could ride or die with us down here, no matter what. So he sent his Spirit. First, he sent his Son so he could spend eternity with us. That's what a good God he is. He ain't mad at you. He loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. Then he went one step further. As Jesus ascended to the Father, he said, I'm going to send you a helper. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he will teach you. So who is he? He's our right now connection with God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. The Holy Spirit is God's manifested presence in us, his Spirit in us, bringing that connection from heaven to earth and earth to heaven. We have a constant connection to God because of the Holy Spirit. And he's been here since the beginning. The Father's used him for his purposes here on earth ever since the very first day. So we go to Genesis 1, verse 1, sentence 1, where it says this, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. The Spirit of God has been here. He's God's manifested presence here on earth for us, and he's been here since the beginning. He breathed life into Adam and Eve, the Holy Spirit. He conceived Jesus in Mary, Holy Spirit. He told Joseph not to ditch Mary when she got pregnant. He raised Jesus from the dead. He spoke to and through the prophets of God and the disciples of Jesus after his ascent. The Holy Spirit has emotions, and like I said before in Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Now, this is kind of a touchy area because it's like, you know, I know that I can only speak from where my walk with God, and that all the times I've really screwed up, I believe that it's that habitual sin in such a way where it's like there's no repentance. It's just like, hey, I'm going to do what I'm going to do, and I'm not even asking your permission or saying I'm sorry. You know, that can grieve the Holy Spirit inside you. Does that mean you're not saved? That's between you and God. I would never call that shot, because only God knows. If you've given your life to Jesus and you decide after you've asked him into your heart to just blow him off, I can't make that call. But I know that you grieve the Spirit when we ignore him. Amen? So, I just looked into the lights. Happened last service too. I'm seeing spots. He has his own will and makes his own decisions. Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So see, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So this encourages me, because it shows me that even when the hard times come, the Spirit is leading me. He'll lead me into the wilderness. He'll lead me to the mountaintops. He'll lead me in the valley. He'll lead me to the promised land. But he will lead me. He is there with me. So if I enter a season of, I feel like I am just in the wilderness, I know that the Holy Spirit is there with me. And I can use that and not ignore God, not walk away from God, not even be mad at God. But I can acknowledge that he's there with me. I can tell him how scared I am if I'm scared. God, I'm scared right now. I don't know what this is going to, it looks bad. It looks bad, God, but I know you're with me. You're my ride or die, and we're going to do this together. And no matter what happens, God, I'll give you the glory. I'll be your servant, God, but help me walk through this like your child. Not the way I used to be, but the way you see me, God. Give me the strength. Give me the wisdom to walk through this, to make good choices. today. And I'm asking for your help. See, I'm engaging now. I'm engaging. I'm acknowledging that He is my ride or die. He does have the answers. He is in control. It's me engaging. That's how it works. And God is faithful. Amen? God is faithful. No matter what happens, no matter what I see in the natural, I can trust His heart. I can trust God's heart and His word. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. Romans 8, 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. That is powerful stuff right there. There ain't no devil in hell, no man on earth, no situation that can separate you from the love of God. When you say yes to Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes and lives on, man, you are loved. You're loved by God anyway, but nothing can separate you from that. Nothing. It says not even death or life, height or depth, nothing. We can always engage with God in His love, in His encouragement, in His, with what little faith we bring to the table. God will meet us more than halfway. Amen? He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Psalms 139, 7 and 8 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. He's there with us everywhere, all the time, 365, 24/7. God's with us. So if that's the case, and I know from my own life, the things that I've done in the last 365 days, 24/7, have not all been holy and righteous. See, I know that God loves me. I know that He sees me through the blood of Jesus. And He will never leave me nor forsake me. He is my ride or die because I haven't walked a perfect walk, you guys. But the walk that I have walked, I've walked with Him. The thing that I have done right is I've acknowledged Him in my life. Where I have blown it, I have said, God, I repent. Help me. You said I could overcome. Help me. And I keep on going. I just keep on going. Because you know what, God? It's me and you, ride or die. It's me and you, ride or die. I am going to blow it again, but it's me and you, ride or die. I am going to have victories in you again, and I am going to overcome stuff, and I am going to, you know, bless others through the power of your spirit, but it's me and you, ride or die, no matter what. He's all-knowing. He's omniscient. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11 says this, these are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. See, God knows it all. He knows the end from the beginning. We ain't hiding nothing from Him. But when we would like to know the wisdom of God, that Holy Spirit that connects with our spirit begins to reveal. See, it's the all-knowing God that lives in us that allows us to operate at levels way higher than we were capable of on our own. Amen? You ever got off the phone and you were ministering to somebody and you were like, whoa, I can't believe I just said that. That was good, you know? Because just you were anointed. It was the time. God gave a word for you for somebody in time of need, and you gave it to them. You did it in love. It wasn't in judgment. There was no strings attached. You just loved on them. And boom. You shared at some way higher level than when you were just like, whoa. I can't believe, man, that was good. Thank you, God. And it helped them. It was a word in due season for them. That's the Holy Spirit. You know, he inspired all the writers of the Bible. 2 Peter 1:20 through 21 says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. It's all inspired. Men are flawed. The men and the women of the Bible were flawed. Yes, we know that. They were no different from us. But they were inspired by the Holy Spirit when they wrote the things in the Bible. When God spoke to them and they spoke. Just like we're very careful to do that now. I ask God to speak through me before I get up here. And Joe and I pray for each other that we would just get out of the way and let God speak through us. So in John 14, Jesus explains who the Holy Spirit is to the disciples. And mind you, this is the last 24 hours of his life. He's not speaking in parables anymore. He's giving it to them straight. And he's listening to all the redundant questions that they have for him, too. This is go time. And Jesus says in verse 26, he says, but the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. There's three areas of the person of the Holy Spirit that I want to hit on today. That is the advocate. Jesus called him the advocate. The power, because he is the power of the ministry and the promise. So let's start with the advocate. Why did Jesus call the Holy Spirit the advocate? The original Greek word for this title was a legal term with a broader meaning than just counsel for defense. It meant one who is called alongside to help. It conveys the idea of an encourager in the sense of a legal consultant. Just as Jesus encouraged and assisted his disciples, the Holy Spirit would be there for them. We can depend on the Holy Spirit to guide, instruct, and encourage us every day in the way of Jesus. Now, the Greek word is parakletos. It's the Greek word literally that means one who is called to someone's aid. Various translations have been given to summarize the term counselor, helper, advocate, or simply translated paraclete. What an amazing gift for God to give us as a helper. Because I know that I need all the help I can get down here. I need all the help I can get on a daily basis to not act out in anger, to not get sideways with the ones that I love, or even flip somebody off on the freeway. I need all the help that I can get. The Holy Spirit resides in everyone who calls Jesus Christ their Lord. And Jesus said he would teach us all things. All things, not some things, not everything, but one thing. All things that have to do with being a child of God. So what does that look like? Well, how do I live as a child of God? How do I love and forgive others? How do I lead my family and show the love of God to them and to others? How do I lead myself? It's all in the Word. It's all in the Bible. We have to read it, learn it, know it, and live it. You see, Jesus also said that he would remind of, the Holy Spirit would remind us of everything Jesus said. How, and I can't be reminded of something if I don't know what it is. Amen? So that's why it's so good for us to read the Word, because you might not need it right now, but that scripture will pop up in you and regurgitate in you when you do need it. When you need to remind yourself that you are an overcomer, that you are more than a conqueror, that God will never leave you nor forsake you. You aren't alone. See, some days, and I'm real big on always having, you know, godly friends in your life to stay accountable to encourage one another and call each other and pray for one another. I'm really big on that. But there are some times when ain't nobody around, right? And the devil's just talking in your ear. And he's getting you all stirred up and all fired up. And you're either bitter or angry, or you're just, you know, and you start buying into this thing, whatever's going on. And man, you're sideways. You got to preach yourself right out of it. There's nobody else, you know, there's just, for some reason, there's nobody to call. There's nothing. You might be laying in bed and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. But you can ask the Holy Spirit to help you in those situations where he literally will give you the scripture to preach yourself right out of that bad mood, to preach yourself right out of the defeated mentality, because you're not. You're God's kid. You're not defeated. You don't have to operate in bitterness or hate or resentment. You don't have to do that. The most powerful thing is love, forgiveness. You can't conquer it. Which brings me to this point. The Holy Spirit will counsel us if we take time to listen. You know, I think we get busy in life. Guilty. I got this, you know. But the times that I slow down and I actually include God in it and I listen for him, he speaks to me, he guides me, he will to you too. Whether that be from him audibly speaking to you, from him speaking to you through his word and to your heart, or maybe a brother or sister in Christ just praying for you and it was just the right thing at the right time, that's what you needed. But God is faithful. And he will counsel us. And he will convict us. If you're convicted by the Holy Spirit when you blow it, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And we just, you know, repent. Ask for help. And then keep on chasing after God. Just keep on with that idea that, man, it's me and you, ride or die. I know I'm a blow it, but it's me and you, ride or die, Lord. It's me and you till the wheels fall off. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not walking away from you. Yeah, I might blow it sometimes, but it's me and you till the wheels fall off. You live here inside of me. I'm with you. You're with me. It's me and you. It's me and you. I'm not going to believe anything the devil says when he tells me I'm too much of a blow it to have a relationship with you, that I probably shouldn't even go to church anymore because I'm a fake. I'm not going to buy that anymore. I admit that I fall short, but you know that already, don't you, Lord? So I'm just going to commit to being your ride or die. It's me and you till the wheels fall off, no matter what, God. End of story. And then watch God just move in your life. He's the power behind the ministry. but you will receive power. Oh, Acts 1:8, excuse me. Acts 1:8 says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth, including Southern California. You will receive power. It's the work behind the ministry. And when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's that manifested presence, like I was talking about, when you're on the phone, there's no strings attached, and you're just ministering to somebody, man, and you're on fire. You're on fire for God. And it's just, and you light them on fire. That's the good stuff of the Holy Spirit. This happened to Peter in Acts 2:32-39, he says this, God has raised Jesus, this Jesus, to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this, God has made Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied and said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Amen. The power of conviction and redemption, the Holy Spirit is faithful to deliver. All you have to do is open your mouth. You don't have to be a theologian. Like I said, you should know Scripture. You should definitely know it, but you don't have to quote it to help somebody. You don't have to quote it to be a light shining in somebody's dark place. You just got to open your mouth. Open your mouth and share how good your God is. What has been your experience about how you walked through this situation with him. And it will bless somebody. Amen? And he's the promise. I have to get going because I want to give you guys a moment to worship. You can come up here, Aaron. It's cool. He's the promise in Ephesians 1:11-14. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in the conformity with his purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you, who also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit in you, guaranteeing our inheritance until the day of redemption of those who are in God's possession, to the praise of his glory. Hallelujah! Mic drop! Ride or die. That's what kind of God we serve. So listen. You want freedom? Get with the Holy Spirit. You want victory? Get with the Holy Spirit. You want to understand God's word more? Get with the Holy Spirit. Whatever you want to overcome, you remember that he's your ride or die. And he is ready. He's ready to move. Just acknowledge him in that. Wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, he's there. Do it with him. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, listen. See, God's not too... God's been tugging on your heart today. And you may have never given your life to Jesus. You've never done it before. God's been tugging on your heart. That's that conviction. That's that love. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you have before, but you know you've fallen away, he has definitely not been your ride or die. I want to give you a chance to rededicate your life and doing just that today. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, or you've backslidden and you just want to realign yourself with the Lord, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray with you, give you an opportunity. I see your hands. I see your hands. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Church, repeat after me. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, and change me. Today, I am your ride or die till the wheels fall off, Lord. So I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit, overflowing. And I declare, today I'm saved. Today I'm changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You guys, that's awesome. That's so awesome. Ride or die, baby. Ride or die. I want to give you an opportunity to just remember the outpouring of the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit. Before we leave here today, I want you guys to just worship God, let God touch you, and then I'll pray you out. Amen.